Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, church. Paul says, he that began a good work in me is faithful to bring it to completion. I trust in the Lord. I don't know about you. I sought the Lord. Doesn't say I sought my podcast. Doesn't say I sought my friend. Says I sought the Lord. And he heard me. Can I tell you how important that is to have a viable relationship with the God that created all? The only way you can have that is through Jesus. My question, if you can't get excited about the Lord hearing you, come on. I'm going to talk to you today because God's been so faithful in my life. And all I can say is God's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't testify enough. That's the excitement we have when you know who your Lord is. He's just not your Savior, but he's your Lord. He's the one that controls the seas. He's the one that sees you through the storms. He's the one that carries you when you can't walk. And you're acting like it's something new. I want you to know God loves us. Not based on anything you've done. Not based on anything you said, just because he is love. That's why he sent his son to die for you and me. Amen. And we're here to worship him. Amen? Amen? So before I get off topic, I'm going back to the reason why I'm here. Hey, Valley. Okay, I can see we're going to need some help today. Hey, Valley. Hey. Wow. Okay. All righty. We're ending our series in Joshua. And one of the biggest things that we're learning about Joshua's story is how faithful God has been in Joshua's life. Joshua has done some amazing things. And so today is commitment day. He's calling all Israel to be all in. Everybody say all in. All means all, amen? He wants Israel to really understand how good God's been to them because he's getting ready to depart the scene. And so all that they've seen, he's giving credit to God so that they grow with grateful hearts, amen? Because out of a grateful heart, you develop grit. Grit is those times when life gets real challenging and you can't seem to see God anywhere, but yet you keep pushing because you know how faithful God's been and you've seen all that God has done. Not only will we see the grit, but we will see growth. God will take them out of their comfort zone. Everybody say comfort zone. It's a good place to visit, never a place you want to stay. I like to visit my comfort zone, David. I visit it often. But my wife keeps taking me out. So I figured I need to live outside of my comfort zone. So today, if you'll pray with me, we'll develop a grateful heart, we'll develop grit, and watch God grow us. Amen. Father in heaven, this is your time. Touch our hearts and our minds. Help us to be transformed because we had an encounter with your living word that gives us hope in a time where most people do not see hope. Help us to recognize that Jesus is doing a work in each one of our lives, and help us to choose him each and every day. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in whom I trust. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Commitment day. Joshua is getting ready to ask them to make a choice. There's a fork in the road. Matthew 7, 13 through 14 says this way, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Understand, we have a comparison. There's a big, broad road. There's a lot of people on it. But then there's that narrow road that leads to eternal life. And only few find it, because it challenges you at your very core to trust in God. And so here we are with Joshua, ready to challenge the people about their journey. He's going to remind them that they had peaks and valleys, highs and some lows, but God's been faithful through it all. He's going to remind them of all that God was able to do as they walk in obedience to him. A lot of starts and stops, a lot of detours, a lot of distractions that they had to go through in order to see God work in their lives. And so let's jump right in. Let's go right to Joshua chapter 23, and let's see what he does as he looks back. He says, a long time after the Lord had given Israel rest from all the enemies around them, Joshua was advancing in age. So Joshua summoned all Israel, including the elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years. Stop right there. He points right to the Lord. A long time after the Lord, if you understand Joshua, he always gives credit to the Lord. The Lord had given them rest. They were no longer fighting. It's been some time, and they've received the land that God had called, that told them that they were going to get, and now there's rest. How many people like rest? Y'all should have shouted. Okay. Who? Jim! There you are. My buddy Jim's back. Jim?
Yeah.
See? You like rest, Jim? I asked you a question.
I'm deaf. I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh, Lord.
Go back to sleep, Jim.
No, say it again. What do you want?
Do you like rest?
No.
See? God's at work in Jim's life, annoying me. I forgive you, my brother. But sometimes when we get in that state of rest, we miss our routines, right? Anybody go on vacation? Anybody like vacation? It's okay to talk to me. I'm not gonna yell at you. How many people like vacation? Thank you. On vacation, what do? You rest from all your labors, right? Guess what else you rest from? God. Because I have a routine. I get up. I study my Bible. I read my Bible. I don't study then. But when I'm on vacation, sometimes it's like my Bible doesn't work on vacation. It's like I'm in it to win it for me. And so Israel's at that time when they didn't really need God to do very much, so they were at rest. And Joshua was trying to tell them, okay, let's look back and see all that God's done to give you the rest that you are in right now. So let's go to the next chapter. Let's go to the next verse. This is good. Look at what he says. And you have seen for yourselves everything the Lord your God did to all the nations on your account, because it was the Lord your God who was fighting for you. Understanding, he's saying we're in this space because the Lord was fighting for you. Don't get it twisted. It's not because of anything we did. It's not because of our military power, but it was the Lord who was fighting for you. Somebody needs to hear today, the Lord is fighting for you. In your difficult season, the Lord is fighting for you. So many times we think we're in a battle by ourselves. The Lord is fighting for you. He was reminding them, the Lord your God, who is a personal God. He made it real personal to them, that they would understand that the Lord was fighting for them, and their victories were because of who he is and what he's done. And he reminds them in verse 9, for the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemies, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. Just as he promised. He's not fighting for no reason. He said, when I deliver you into the promised land, oh, by the way, I'll fight for you. But guess what it just told us? They had to show up. A lot of times we want God to fight for us, but we won't show up. We won't show up to the fight. Ask Israel when David and Goliath. Each day Goliath kept coming out. Nobody would fight him until David showed up. First thing you need to know, to develop gratefulness in your heart, you've got to show up. You've got to show up. Whatever that thing is, God's fighting. So that you can say, God's been so good to me. So that you can testify. First thing he says, you guys are eyewitnesses of this. It's not secondhand knowledge. You saw God work, and you know his word because he told you before you got here that there were going to be some battles, but don't worry about those battles because I'm going to take over. Tells you there were great and powerful nations. We saw them. Fortified cities that God destroyed for the people of God. Joshua 23, he looks forward. I have allotted to you as your homeland all the land of the nations yet unconquered, as well as the land of those we have already conquered from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The land will be yours, for the Lord your God will himself drive out all the people living there now. You will take possession of their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Once again, he's pushing them forward now. We didn't take all the land in my time, but there's still some land left to get. Guys, the same God that was faithful in helping us get the land that we have, he's the same God that's going to take you through as you march against the new. What's that thing in your life that God's got a hold of you on, that the world has a hold of you on, that you need God to root it out of your life? God just wants us to put it at his feet. He'll do the heavy lifting, but we got to be willing to trust in his promises that he is a deliverer, that he is a healer. that he is the one that transforms your life. He gives you the will and the power to want to do right. We just got to show up. Do our part. Why? Because God's undefeated. He'll always do his part. If we're lacking in something, because I missed something, not God. God will always do what God said he will do. You don't have to worry about, well, will God show up? You do have to worry about Barry. If I tell you I'm going to meet you, just a hint, you might want to send me a text. Especially if you didn't see me write it down somewhere. If I just said okay and nodded my head as I was walking, I really meant to meet you. Or you find her, and she'll put it on the calendar, and I know the go. But if you just see me nod, I'll see you there. That's probably a no. Just text me. I'll come. I may be late, because Pastor Mike convicted me the other week. You can't leave the time you're supposed to be somewhere and say it was traffic. 695 is always traffic. That was my go-to until Mike took that away from me. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and no, no. Anything else is of the evil one. And so we have to commit to show up and believe God is who he says he is, who he's already displayed he is. So we look forward to the promises that God's given us. And so here's the challenge. You ready for the challenge? All right, somebody waking up. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you. Go to the next slide, please. The challenge to be consistent in meeting with God, to be courageous in standing on God's word, and to be compliant in living out God's word. Constant, consistency. Have that time that you want to meet with God. Make it a part of your habit so that he knows, I'm going to meet with David at 2:30. Or I'm going to meet with Pastor Mike at 10 o'clock. But also be courageous in standing on what he's already shown you. There's some real biblical principles that we all know. But the challenge becomes being compliant, living in them out. Knowledge by itself does not transform you. Applied knowledge does. So learning, I'm gonna give you the hardest one. How many people struggle with forgiveness? Yeah, everybody's hand should be up. Forgiveness allows you. You ready? Are you coming in close? I'm gonna talk to this side of the room. Y'all don't look like y'all ready to forgive. Forgive. Oh, I like Mike. You got it. Forgiveness allows you to be like God. You can say it louder. It allows you to be like God because the Bible calls us to forgive as God has forgiven you. How has God forgiven you? Completely? Huh? As far as the east is from the west, never to bring up your transgressions again. He lets them go. He releases them. Oh, I see the question over here. I see it. How does he release it? I know that's what you're thinking. Because it's already paid for. Jesus paid that debt. You don't have to charge it to somebody else. It's already paid for. And when you learn to walk in forgiveness, you learn to imitate Jesus. That was a hallelujah time. So that's the challenge. Not just knowing the word, but learning to live it because we want to be more like Jesus. And in order to do that, you've got to be consistent in meeting with him so that you understand his heart. And his heart is, he does not want to see one person end up in hell. That's why he has all these representatives all around the world that should be looking like Jesus. And people know your story. They know when somebody did you wrong, especially in the office, because there's office gossip. Amen? The best testimony you can do in your office is not to get back, but to forgive. That's a powerful testimony. And guarantee somebody will walk up to you and say, how in the world can you forgive that person? Because Jesus forgave me. And you don't realize all that I've done to him. But he sent his son, who loved me so much that he hung on a cross for me. He was beaten for me. He did nothing wrong. But thanks be to God, on the third day he rose. And now he's seated with the Father. All power is in his hand. That's why I can forgive. Because, you ready? He's given me his spirit. All I got to do is submit to the spirit, because he knows the heart of God. So the struggle is being courageous enough to stand on those principles by living them out on a daily basis. Look at what he challenges them with. He says, be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the right or to the left. Make sure you do not associate with the people still standing in the land, remaining in the land. Do not even mention the names of their God, much less swear by them or serve them or worship them. God's being real clear for us. It all starts with our time in his word. That's how we know who and what we should be attaching ourselves with. I like it when he says, neither turn to the right or the left. Stop comparing yourself to your neighbor. Stop looking over there. Stop looking over there. Hey, Jim. Hey. See? Stop comparing. It robs you of your peace. Because you continue to try to be and do things that God's not called you to be and do. That's why he says, don't look at their neighbors. Don't even look at their gods. Can I tell you, there are a lot of gods in our world today? Money, power, success, homes, children. We worship a lot of things. And he's calling us to be devoted to one God and loving him wholeheartedly. So stop comparing yourselves. Rather, he says, cling tightly to the Lord your God as you have done until now. For the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has been able to stand. You see the repetition that he keeps reminding them. You've done it in the past. Keep doing it. Don't stop. Don't take that time of rest to get out of your habits. A lot of times when we think we're in a season of peace, first thing that goes is our prayer life. God, I'm good. Go work on Pastor Mike. I'm good right now. He needs you more than ID right now. I'm kind of good. But he's telling them, cling to your habits. You're dependent on God every second of every day. You need to realize what you did yesterday is not for just today, but it's for your future. What he showed you in his word doesn't always apply today, but it applies throughout your life. So cling tightly to your Lord, because his word is true. Sanctify us by thy word. Thy word is true. And then he calls them to love God. Oh, this is a good one. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. We love a lot of things. I'm on social media, just that much. And I've noticed people love a lot of things on social media, right? Especially that picture. I think we equated just hitting a button to that's how I love God. I'm going to give God a good thumbs up. God, you're terrific. I really love you. And God says, if you love me, if you truly love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's the measure that God's using to see whether we love him or we just like him. You know, we become habit in our habit of scrolling social media. It's okay. Young people, it's okay. I'm going to free you. I got my phone. Do I have my phone? Yep, got my phone. Nope. Nope. I'm worried. Ha! I fooled you. Most of y'all would get nervous if you didn't know where your phone was, wouldn't you? Let's just be honest. Because our life is this little thing. But Joshua is saying our life is God. And not just loving him with a heart emoji. It's actually following his footsteps and doing what he says. It's okay to say amen. It's okay. So your challenge says be very careful to love the Lord your God. I want you to think this week, how can you love God? I give you some hints. Make time for him. Can I just tell you, I have a wonderful, amazing wife. Now, if I never spent time with her, what do you think she would think about me? You're right, you're married, you understand. Suppose I went a whole week. We lived in the same house. I didn't once say, I love you. I didn't once wash a dish. Let me see, did I do that last week? Yeah, I washed the dish. My wife's real touchy-feely. Suppose I never held her hand. That's her love language. I understand it. Quality time. Do you know God's love language? I'm coming over here, Calvin. You looked at me, Calvin. Calvin, thank you for coming to this side of the room. But never look when I'm coming. God's love language is obedience. To his word, not my word, to his word. And husbands, I'm going to help you. He tells us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Oh, Lord, let me keep going. I don't want to get hung up on that one. Let's go. Let's keep going. Joshua reminds them, soon I will die, going the way of the everything on the earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. He's reminding them God is faithful to all his promises. He keeps repeating it over and over again so that you can develop that grit to trust God in your deepest moments when you don't think you need God. There's always challenges, but they're warnings. Let's look at the warnings. Joshua tells him, but if you turn away from him and cling to customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of the land. Instead, they will be a snare and a trap to you, a whip for your backs and thorny brambles in your eyes, and you will vanish from this good land the Lord your God has given you. God doesn't play. He doesn't want to be second to anybody. He wants our loyalty to him and him alone. And he tells them, don't mess with the customs of the people around you, because they don't know me and they practice things that will pull you away from me. I like it where they say, John, the Apostle John says in 1 John verse 2, tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride in one's possession is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away. But the one who does the will of God remains forever. It's real clear in the Word of God. We're called to live in the world, to be a part of the world, but we shouldn't live like the world. There should be a real distinct difference in how we carry ourselves. And so if you're more worried about what's going on in this world, you miss the hope of our future. God's going to prepare a place for his people. And he says if he prepares a place for us, he's coming back for us. That's my hope. My hope is that he's coming back, and more specifically, that he's coming back in my lifetime. Because I'll be taken out of this world where sin rules and reigns. When people are all about themselves and not about a Savior. Where people give so much to the world and very little to the kingdom of God. I can just tell you, the things in this world are going to be gone. Only what's done for Christ will last. Make investments wisely. The other warning he gives them, but just as surely the Lord your God has given you the good things he promised, he will also bring disaster on you if you disobey him. He will completely destroy you from this good land he has given you. If you break the covenant of the Lord your God by worshiping and serving other gods, his anger will burn against you, and you will quickly vanish from the good land he has given you. Once again, God's saying, I need your devotion. I need all your heart. I need you to be all in, because God's all in. He gave us his very best. He gave us Jesus. Question is, how will we respond to God's call for us to be all in? What does that look like in a church context? That means if God's placed you here to be a part of this body, God has work for you. That means if you visit this body and you like visiting us, we like you visiting us too. But we know God's put you here for such a time as this, as God is doing an amazing work so that you can grow with us. It's not about numbers. It's about our trust in God. It's about us doing the work that God's called us to do by serving this community. We have multiple needs, but it takes time for you to say, I'm all in. And that first call is, are you a child of God? Do you know who Jesus is? Jesus is the reason why we have access to God, because he came and died a death that he didn't deserve. He was verifiably dead, buried, and like I said earlier, on the third day he rose again. Now he's seated with all power. I beg you, if you've never put your trust in God through the work of Jesus, today is your day. Harden not your hearts. Put your trust there. Or maybe you just want to be a part of our fellowship. The challenges are real clear. God wants us all in. It requires consistency, to be courageous, and to be compliant. Just live out his word and watch God do all the amazing things that he's called you to. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious promises. We thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who left heaven to come to earth to pay the sin debt for all that would believe, everyone that would believe. God, I pray for that one right now that's wrestling with whether that's true or not. I pray that your spirit would invade, open their hearts, let them receive your truth. But for the rest of us, God, we're trying to discern what's next in our life. Is it just consistency? Or is it being courageous in our faith, living out what we already know that we should do? God, whatever it is, I pray that you would bring it forth in their life, that they would be obedient and give their whole selves to you, not just part. God, we ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand, we have one more song and then announcements, and you are dismissed.